Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline is our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. What did you make of McDavid's comments postgame when he was asked about that new record where he was in on the first 9 goals of the season for Edmonton? I personally loved it. I think he just was sending a message to his teammates, like, guys, let's wake up. Let's get going here.
I mean, it's amazing what he did. But if, you know, like, seriously, like, amazing to be involved in all of that all of the time. But it's embarrassing, would it not be, for the rest of the guys?
Yeah.
Like, hey, fellas, like, the rest of us here are kind of wandering around in a daze. Let's chop chop on this thing. Like, I saw, like, last night, and I've seen it with some of the other younger guys, too. Like, there's just another element to them that is coming out. It's their, I don't know, it's their maturity, it's their leadership, it's their demand of the other players. Like, when McDavid scored at the in the third period there, like, not that it's a big surprise he was fired up, but I mean, like, he was fired up. Like, it was different than I remember. And yeah. I've seen it with Matthews a little bit. It's like, these guys that are so good, they're like, okay, you guys, like, let's go. Like, it's their team. And it's incredible when I think of their age that it is their team. Like, it is McDavid's team. I mean, it's not even, you know, I mean, you couldn't even begin to build a question around that. It's McDavid's team. And he's basically saying, to your point, Brian, like, come on, you guys, let's wake the hell up. The season's already started.
Ray, what do you make of this so-called meeting in Switzerland with Kyle Dubas? I told Brian and Jamie earlier, I think this is kind of, I know December 1st is the deadline, but this is kind of the last-ditch effort, isn't it, when you look face-to-face and say, this is what we got, do you want to make it happen? And if it doesn't happen, I'm pretty sure you're flying home thinking, we got to get to plan B.
Well, I don't quite think that finality, old, but what I do think is, like, you know, it's always, you know, Dubas talking to his agents or his dad, you know, who's part of the agency group. But this is, you're talking to him. Like, you can look in his eyes, you can see exactly what, you know, how much conviction there really is for this. Because at some point, you know, yes, you can go to the KHL or play somewhere else, but that would suck. You want to play in the NHL. So you could gauge the conviction of Nylander to push this. Like, do you read that, okay, he's about done, or do you read to your what you thought, uh-oh, this is a long way, and we do have to move on to plan B, whatever that might be. And plan B might be, like, you know, they might tell him when they leave there, look, we're not trading you, so you can sit there if you want, but then don't forget, in the summer, you still got to sit there because you're in the same boat. Nothing changes. Eventually, if you're playing in the NHL, you're playing for us, unless we decide to trade you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that gets lost on a lot of people in terms of this conversation. This idea that as of November 30th, he's got to be traded. You know, oh, he said he wouldn't take your deal. No, he doesn't. Like, they could say, go ahead, William, take the whole year off. Sorry. Like, you know, we're not budging.
Yeah.
We're not moving. And I, quite frankly, I think they would have to. Unless there is a deal that presents itself that is lights out.
Right.
But that would be the case anyway.
Like, if you're, Brian, if you're a GM and it gets to November 20th, you know, so you would like William Nylander on your team. I'm assuming most teams would.
Yeah.
You call up Kyle Dubas and offer him scraps. Like, why would you make him a great offer? Like, you would you not start there and go, yeah, I'm interested in Nylander, and I know you need a defenseman, and here's a guy that's, well, he's okay, but, like, why would you start at great offers? I don't think they're going to, all of a sudden, because it gets nearer the end of November, start getting these fabulous offers that makes Dubas say, and the Leafs say, oh, yeah, this is such a great offer, we got to do it. I don't see it. Like, why would, the Leafs are the ones that are going to be stuck here. Nylander's the one that's going to be stuck here. It's not a good spot for either of them, really.
No, it's not. I mean, in your heart of hearts, though, I'm sitting back here. It's October 17th. Like, somewhere in my mind, I'm like, this deal gets done. Like, I don't think the ocean is...
It just seems dumb not to.
That's what I'm... Yeah, like, I mean, William, he's going to get paid throughout his career. Like, he's going to make a boatload of money. But I just don't know if... I mean, if they're $2 million apart, let's just say, again, it's all speculative, but say they're $2 million apart on a seven-year deal. That's $14 million. That's a lot of money. So he's hemorrhaging a little bit of money on the front end of this to get somewhere where he wants. To me, cooler heads or guys who are creative can figure out what how you're going to bridge that money and what you're going to do. So I still can't believe... I can believe it's gotten to this point, but nowhere in my mind do I believe it's going to get past December 1st. And he's going to sit out. I just can't believe that. For me, that's a 0% chance.
Yeah, I think.
Go ahead, Ray. The crazy part is nothing changes. Like, you know, if there was a way, like, if the system said that, oh, if you get by November or November 30th, that, you know, it tolls a year on your free agency and you'd be, you know, next summer you'd become an unrestricted free agent, well, then I could say, okay, well, maybe he's going to go and say to hell with it, and I'll just go to Russia and play out the year and be an unrestricted. But he's not, and it's not going to happen.
Right.
Like, nothing changes. So I just don't see where he can push this. Like, you can push it. Eventually you can say, yeah, trade me, and I'm not coming back to play for you. I mean, that's entirely his prerogative. But that seems like a pretty crappy way to go, too, because, again, the Leafs hold all the cards.
Yeah, exactly.
You only have so many years to play.
Well, and if he's wondering how that plays out, call up Jonathan Drouin, who demanded out and wouldn't report, and Yzerman
said, "I'll come back."
Yeah, and guess when they decided to trade him? When Sergachev was on the table.
Yeah,
and that's what we're talking about here. Like, the Leafs may reach a point where they're like, "Okay, we'll trade you, but we need the equivalent of your services, not at that position necessarily, but." We're not just going to trade you for a couple of second-round picks because you want out. It was never going to work that way.
They got to do what's best for the organization.
Absolutely. And, you know, you knew this was coming. Teams are going to start to get linked, and Pierre LeBrun on Insider Trading last night was saying that if it got to a point where Nylander was available, Carolina would be a team that would show a lot of interest. And he mentioned Brett Pesce, who's locked in on term, and he's a good defenseman. But, like, does that move the radar for you, Ray? Would that even be... It would.
Yes.
Yeah, I like him too.
Like a couple of years ago, well, a year ago, when we were talking about, you know, only the 2000th time, we said, oh, the Leafs got to make a move for a D. And, you know, it was linking a forward to Anaheim because they had all kinds of injury problems, which, of course, they have again this year. The guy I mentioned, and it seemed to be like, you know, people were like, what are you crazy, was Josh Manson. Like,
yeah.
Josh Manson is really good,
yeah.
And he's tough, and he's mean. And while he might not be a guy that moves the needle a lot, neither is Brett Pesce, but Pesce can play. He can skate, he's got good size, can move the puck.
Yeah,
he's a good player. Like, I would think it's more likely, if they decide to get to a point to move William Nylander, I think it's more... been a little bit possible that the return initially will seem underwhelming. It's not like you're not getting a big name defenseman because the team's not going to trade you that. You may end up with a guy that's in a market that we don't watch a lot, that we don't see a lot. You go, well, I don't even really know if that's a good deal. And that's what your pro scouts are doing right now, because it's almost certain that, you know, O mentioned earlier plan B. Well, they got to be looking at plan B, plan C, whatever. And the pro scouts are starting to identify players that in places that they might think about.
Well, you're right, Ray, and it may seem underwhelming, but then you have to be careful because you're always going to be comparing the player's production. So, I mean, I'll bring it back, and this is a one that's over the top, but the Larson for Hall deal. Right? Because Edmonton wanted a D, and they wanted somebody who could play on a top pairing and be stable. Taylor Hall goes and wins the Hart. I don't think William Nylander is going to go anywhere and win the Hart, but he's a very good player. So if he goes and scores 25, 27 goals and has 65, 70 points, and you get a guy like, let's just say, and I'm not saying Pesce. I like Pesce as a player, and I think he's a really good player, but in people's minds, you're going to be like, we just traded away 70 points for 30.
Well, the Hall for Larson deal changed the complexion of everything in the league.
But you're
like,
right.
It just did.
But I'm just saying, you have to be careful if you're Kyle Dubas for the perception of that trade too, because a skilled forward for a skilled defenseman, people just compare points a lot of times. Now, that's the court of public opinion. It's mm-hmm. not the people in the hockey world. But a lot of times there's a lot of yelling and screaming about stuff like that.
Well, I would look at my defense and watch how, even though we win all the time, our defense doesn't seem to be able to stop anybody. And I'd be more worried about that than anything else.
I agree.
And so it may become an unpopular move if they can't get this done. But going there, I mean, there's so much of this that's kind of funny. Is, you know, they're in the airport and the guy, you know, apparently his name's paged. And because the world is like it is, you know, it's all over the internet. Hey, Nylander's name was just paged at the airport. Like, everybody kind of knows something was going on. And then they're, you know, you got to fly all the way over there for a meeting, a neutral site meeting, because nobody meets in Peoria, Illinois. They meet in Switzerland. Why wouldn't you, right? So Dubas has got to fly all the way over there to have lunch. It just strikes me as kind of funny. Like, can't you, is this the only way to do it? Maybe it is. And maybe there'll be stuff that comes to fruition. And maybe they'll really start to lay the groundwork to a deal. Because right now it seems like the tires are spinning.
Yeah. I don't think a deal happens.
Well, I don't think it's going to happen.
You do or do not?
I do not think anything's going to come of this. It's like they have a number, they have an idea. I think the dad is heavily involved in... I'm saying
okay,
no.
But at some point, wouldn't you just say, hey, Dad, you made $25 million mm-hmm. or $30 million yeah. or whatever. Like, you know, be my dad. I don't need another agent.
No, Dad, like, get out of the room.
Yeah.
I got an agent.
Maybe more direct.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, that's easy for us to say, but who knows? I mean, who knows what Nylander has been saying throughout this whole process? Who knows if he's been the one that's been driving the bus? Maybe he has been.
Right.
Who's to say that his agent and his dad haven't been like, Willie, I'm telling you, this is all you're getting. And he's like, I don't care. I'm not taking that because I know what Mitch is getting and I know what Austin's getting and I'm not doing it.
Then you're not playing here or you're sitting and waiting.
Yeah, and that's what I think Dubas is hoping to find out when he heads over there. I mean, you're right. I mean, it's an extreme maneuver. It's a trip to Switzerland. I mean, you could have pulled a Mac T and downloaded Skype, I would think.
But could you imagine?
No, that's just for piping people.
Yeah, true. Only if you're firing a head coach in the league, you download Skype. But not that it matters now, but do you think Lou would have done this? Do you think Lou Lamoriello would fly to Switzerland to meet a player?
No way.
Lou would have the private meeting in his office.
Yes.
Coming to the meeting or else there is no meeting. Here's the offer. Like, I don't know. I understand why Dubas feels he has to do this, and I get it, because I think it's a lot to say about you look at his eyes and just maybe you can see if there's any conviction there, see if there's any middle ground or quasi-middle ground to see if you can bump the ball down the road. Because as long as they sit apart, I mean, how much can they talk? Hey, have you guys changed your mind? No. How about you guys? No. Okay, talk to you next week. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all that can be going on right now.
Yeah, that's... Do you think, we were joking around with this, and it's not going to have it, but do you think, like, if something comes out of it that's fishy, would you think that maybe, you know, a backdoor deal with some cash in a suitcase in Switzerland, like...
The old Swiss bank account.
Swiss bank account. Like, we were joking that, and you can't do that in today's world, but, you know, we were laughing that maybe Dubas rolls in with a giant hockey bag just full of cash and, hey, sign a 7-year extension at $3 million a year, but don't worry, this account will be full when I leave.
Well, eventually the thing always turns over. Like, remember, I think it was a couple years ago and somebody finally got into all the banks in Iceland and all of a sudden they're like, oh, wait a minute. Yes, the president does own this company. And it was a catastrophic deal. Like, could you imagine a bunch of hockey people trying to pull this off?
Oh.
Eventually, some dope is going to have too many beers and go, oh, I don't know, that's when I delivered that suitcase full of cash.
Exactly.
It's so true. Someone would say something so dumb on the record and not realize that it's on the record.
Just crushed at the World Junior.
Crushed at the draft in the hotel lobby bar.
At the media event.
Yeah, and then I got to fly to Switzerland in October. It was fantastic. What were you doing there? Oh, I had to drop this briefcase off at a hotel.
Yeah. Duffel bag full of cash.
Heavy. Oh, it was heavy, too.
So funny.
It's so true. It's so true. The levy would break within like 6 months. It would be revealed, and it would never happen ever again.
Ever again.
All right, Ray. Well, you're in town, what, tomorrow, I guess, for the Pens Leaf game?
Yep. I'm in on the red eye tonight, and just finished playing golf and come in, do the game, and zip back out. It's light schedule early on here.
I guess.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Well, the problem is when it's light early, you know what it's coming down the pike.
Yeah.
Not very good.
World Juniors right around the corner. Although in your backyard, so that's a good sign.
This is the first time ever, so I'm actually pretty excited about it. I think my family is, but I'm not sure. You never know.
Yeah, you'll find out on Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. See if I come up with the goods or not.
All right, buddy. We'll do it tomorrow.
Have a good day, boys.
Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline.